good afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show with Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we've got a lot to talk about during the show today, but some of the things are some things we weren't anticipating talking about, in particular with football, as it's already been announced that the Bearcat football team's scrimmage with Central Missouri has been canceled. And last week at this time, we were talking about Bearcat football scrimmage with Washburn, which would have been last weekend. That was canceled as well, as COVID-19 has taken a hit to the football program.
Yeah, it really has, and I don't know. I think you get to a certain point, and the schedule comes out, and if yourself and all these Bearcat fans are like me, you kind of get that level of optimism. And maybe it's a little bit false, and maybe we shouldn't have it with everything that's gone wrong in the last 6 or 7 months in 2020. But I kind of had this feeling like, all right, we've got to this point. They've been working out. I think we're going to get through this, and we're going to see some football scrimmages. We got a cross-country meet. We've got basketball on the way. I really felt like we kind of saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and, of course, that was very wrong. Washburn had a lot of COVID cases pop up in the previous week that wiped out the scrimmage we were supposed to see last Saturday. And then, you know, with everything going off Northwest, kind of seeing some pop up, plus the contact tracing, it just made it not feasible. So you hate to see that, and you really feel for the players and the coaches that have put in so much work and so much time that they get this far into it, and you just kind of keep getting it pushed back a little bit further, a little bit further. So that's tough, but hopefully we can kind of go back, hit the reset button, and at least get some more sports down the road. But you do have to feel for basketball or football, excuse me, whenever you kind of look at what they've been through.
Yeah, they've lost out on spring practice, and then, of course, they went through the summer with some individual workouts with the hopes of the fall season being played, and then the fall season was delayed a little bit, and then all of a sudden it looked like they could get some scrimmages in, and that didn't happen as well. And it's just unfortunate that some of the numbers in the counties in the area, Nottoway County in one here, and then you look at what's taking place in Topeka and things, so the number's been kind of going up much like they have been nationwide, and it just kind of took its toll on the football program.
Yeah, and you know, and I think in the summertime, and we spoke with Lori Hopkins a little bit, who is on the who's the chairperson for the MIAA's COVID-19 committee, that they kind of looked at it and said, you know, all right, we're going to try to make things work when we can, but then each county and each state have different regulations, different protocols, how we're going to approach things. And, you know, the conference, I feel like, has done so much to try to make this work for everyone. It's just a matter of we clearly aren't out of the woods just yet when it comes to COVID-19 and the infections, and it's been picking up throughout Nottoway County. So that's difficult on that end, and I'm not really sure what's worse. Is it football kind of thinking, hey, you know, you did feel like once we got to the summer, maybe things would turn around. Maybe we'd get, you know, kind of get to a better point. But you think about football, preparing, and then getting nothing. Or you think about spring sports. Baseball and softball at least got to play a little bit. But right as they were getting into the meat of their season in March, everything was ripped away. You know, basketball the outdoor track and field championships had their championships ripped away after having an entire regular season. So it's just different levels of misery, really, for all these different athletic programs.
Yeah, different time we're living in right now, but hopefully down the line we can get past this and get back to some sort of normalcy. But not only is it affecting the general population, but athletics also being affected at Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, I think it's so hard because for basketball starting up right now, and of course we've got the first game coming up on the 19th, so we're 9 days away from Northwest and Northeastern State playing in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and knock on wood, we'll actually get to see that doubleheader played, followed by Rogers State 2 days later. But they have to do things a little bit different as well, to where you go out and you practice, but then you have to take a few days off to do your testing and to make sure everybody's okay for the contact trace. Then you come back for a few more days and you practice, and you're not really getting into a normal flow of what a preseason practice schedule is supposed to be like. And so I'm not really sure who has an advantage when you think about basketball going into this year. Is it someone who has a lot of returners and some, you feel like, hey, we're going to come in and we're just going to hit the ground running? Or is it someone that has, we've got a lot of newbies on this team, they're not sure how we normally work this, we're just going to roll the ball out, go play basketball and have fun? I'm not sure what the benefit is.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think the big word that really comes to mind that everyone has to have right now is just flexibility, to know that plans may change in a minute's notice, really, with what's taking place. So the athletes and the coaches and fans really just have to be flexible right now.
How many times have we had conversations over the last 7 months of, all right, We're getting to the first home football game. We're going to treat it like this. We're gonna go about it to make sure that we keep each other healthy and do it like this. We're going to treat van rides like this and the road trips. And we've changed things on our own. Just we'll do this and this and this. And, of course, we haven't had a competition to broadcast, but then things keep changing and keep hearing different things from, your health department or as we learn more about COVID. So, yeah, it's flexibility. That's it goes beyond just training with Joe Quinlan, right, John?
That's right. I need to do a little bit of that. I'm not as flexible as I should be, obviously, right now. But it's a different time. We've had to be flexible with the coaches show and how we do things with this as well. So it just is something that's affecting everybody in one way or another. And hopefully we can just get through this.
Yeah, that's all you can do is just kind of bear down and press on. And, you know, we lost football for the fall. Hopefully at least we get spring practice back once we cross into 2021, and maybe that green and white game like we've had in the past, kind of an annual scrimmage there just amongst Northwest Missouri State players, which actually kind of takes on an even bigger role since we'll be almost 2 years since we've seen Bearcat football at that point. But also we've got cross-country championships coming up, the D2 National Invitational coming up this weekend, actually. So hopefully all the testing and everything goes well for those men's and women's teams can go to that, and then basketball in the next 9 days. So, yeah, we just got to cross your fingers that everything will go well.
And one thing that we definitely know, we've got a good show coming up here today.
That's exactly right, John Coffey. And speaking of that show, whenever we've got head coach Rich Wright from football coming on to talk a little bit about the decision behind having it to cancel both of these scrimmages. Of course, men's and women's basketball coaches, Ben McCollum and Austin Meyer, as well as Nick Gibson, the cross-country coach, talking about the D2 National Invite, which will be this Saturday in Lubbock, Texas, and also Athletic Director Andy Peterson. A little bit more of an update on where they're at as far as basketball coming up, what the home game might look like. Talk a little bit about football's decision too. So that's all coming up on today's show. And the Bearcat Coaches Show is sponsored by Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And stay tuned. We've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, what a difference a week makes, I guess, when we talked to you last week at this time, looking at preparing for Washburn. That didn't come through, and now we're looking at a situation with you're going to try to place Central Missouri, and it looks like that scrimmage has been postponed or canceled as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, we were full speed ahead until Thursday afternoon when we got the results back with the testing. Washburn was actually first. They had informed us that they didn't even have a two deep in the offensive line, and so they ended up with several between positives and contacts canceling, and they turned around and canceled their game with Central as well. And you know, for me, when I sat down with the training staff, it falls right into the 2-week window. So I've got 32 guys that wouldn't have been able to practice up until the day before a game, and just makes it an awful difficult scenario.
Yeah, it's just a tough situation, but it seems like once it starts going through a group or something, it just the numbers start rising just for the nature of what the virus is, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, and it's you know, the difference at the college level is when you're doing mandatory testing. I mean, you know, so the high schools are able to go unless you have symptoms, and so for us, that weekly testing is a pretty big net.
How frustrating is it for you and the players at the Division II level when you see the high schools being able to play games this fall and then the D1s getting some games in as well?
I'd be lying to you if I said it's not hard. It is very difficult. It just seems like there are a lot of people that found a pathway to play, and unfortunately we couldn't. You know, the high schools, again, are in a totally different scenario because they don't have to test. Once the NCAA mandated that and the cost that was going to be incurred with it, just made it pretty difficult for that pathway for us.
When you talk to the players about this, I know they have to be really disappointed because they put in a lot of work really throughout the summer with their individual workouts. And then when you brought them in and got practice going to go through practice and now get to this point where the scrimmages are off, I imagine it's got to be really disappointing for them.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the tough part for them is this isn't the first time it's happened this fall. I mean, we started, you know, back in July, and I think everybody thought there was a pathway to play. Then we started canceling individual games, and then ultimately, you know, the Division II powers that be canceled their championship. And so then we didn't think there was a pathway to play. Well, then there's a pathway again. And so it's just it's kind of an emotional roller coaster for them. And, you know, that's why, you know, we could have looked at potentially doing it over Thanksgiving, but that had logistical issues with it. I think the kids are tired, and they're ready to put the closure on our fall. So,
well, what's next for the football team? Do you kind of transition now into what would normally be your off-season workout period at this time?
Yeah, we'll get back into the weight room. They had really never left the weight room, so we're going to get back in there and attack the weight room. We're only on campus till late November this year. But we'll be off and out on the road recruiting will be the next phase for us. We have a big visit this weekend and the following weekend. So you just turn the page and keep going.
When you talk to the players and try to, again, turn that page for them, how do you work to try to maintain this as positive as possible? It's such a disappointing situation right now, but to try to keep them looking ahead and focusing what the next goal is for them.
You know, there's a lot of silver linings to things. You know, I was appreciative of the fact that we got to practice for as long as we did. It really helped Coach Sturdy out on the offensive side of the football. You know, when he got here, we hadn't practiced. We had no spring practice. We had no summer workouts. So for him to get some time with the offense and get the kids inundated with what he wants to do was a big help. And, you know, it's I guess we get to have another year with all our kids too. So, you know, it's just you got to find those things in bad situations. And we'll look forward to 2021 when we can hopefully play for a conference championship and make another run in the national playoffs.
When you talk about now turning the page toward recruiting too, how does with the players that you've got coming back to get an extra year factor into what you're doing recruiting-wise right now? How do you juggle all of that?
It's going to be a little bit interesting just from a number standpoint because, you know, not losing, you know, many guys off of our roster, it's in essence a sixth class. And so you've got to, you know, we got to just from a logistical numbers standpoint, we're probably not going to recruit as big of a class as what we typically do here.
And I imagine that this is something that's going to affect not only Northwest, but just when you look at the high school senior class coming through, getting scholarships and different things just all over the country, this is something that's going to be something that will affect them as well.
Absolutely. It could be more difficult to to get recruited this year, just because the situation that's going on with everybody.
And how do you go about the recruiting now? Is it a different type of process now at this particular point with trying to work in protocols with virus and everything?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's not a day that the word COVID doesn't come across my desk. So yeah, it's logistically trying to plan for all the different things and the parameters, and having to be careful when you have students coming onto campus. So yeah, I'm well versed in it.
I imagine probably more so than the average person around town.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let's maybe look at some of the things about what you've seen with the team going through practice right now. And just from the positive things that you're talking about, having a chance to work with players and things. Overall, what was your impression of what you saw out on the field this year?
You know, I liked our chemistry. I felt like that we had a cohesive group of kids that showed up to work every day. I think that we were able to examine some of our issues that we lost due to graduation a year ago, and started to find some replacements. It was great to work with our younger players. You know, I've got a whole redshirt freshman class that, again, has, you know, they basically did Northwest stuff, then they were on a scout team in the fall, and they hadn't practiced since. You know, so just to watch them grow and expand in our program has been good.
When you talk about a chance for Coach Sturdy to work with the offense, what are some of the things that really look encouraging offensively that you liked what you saw this fall?
You know, I think he does a phenomenal job of being multiple. And, you know, as a defensive coach, that's difficult to prepare for. I really like how he's evolved the quarterbacks. You know, he's always kind of been a quarterback guy, and I like the way those guys are trending. And I think Bearcat Nation's going to be really excited to watch those guys perform next fall.
Yeah, and I think Bearcat Nation was looking forward to seeing something this fall, too, but unfortunately it's just not going to be this year, and you just have to, I guess, roll with the hand that you're dealt here and go from here.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks.
That's the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. We'll be back and have more on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey. Praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking now with the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, it's probably been an offseason like none other for you.
Yeah, it has. You know, obviously it's been a big off-season, a long off-season, because back in March when it ended, you had multiple months, weeks that you were in quarantine essentially as a family, and so you didn't really come to the office. Well, you didn't come to the office, and then as people started to get back out and socialize and whatnot, it's still somewhat different than what it was. But, you know, I think for us, like I've told a few people, it's important to maintain that present mentality. Stay focused on what you can do today, and and don't get overly concerned with the future of the past, and hopefully our kids do that.
Boy, I know from your standpoint, it had to be really disappointing when this hit, of course, with finishing up the MIAA tournament with the tournament title and then looking ahead toward the regional and what possibly could have been another national title. So you had to kind of get over that disappointment of the season ending there and then trying to gear up for what type of season we may have this year.
Yeah, last year just it would have been nice to be able to play throughout the national tournament. I understood at the time exactly why they would shut things down at that point. And, you know, now preparing for this season for a 22-game schedule, you know, a few scrimmages here or there depending upon which ones get canceled or whatnot. We're just trying to give our student-athletes as good of an experience as they can possibly have through what this is and continue to make them better, to continue to help them understand how to handle adversity and in situations like this.
How did you navigate through the summer and the fall and the preseason workouts to get to where the season is going to be opening up here in another week?
I'm not sure if we did it the right way or not. I think summers we were able to work kids out, which is the first time that has ever been done. And then obviously the preseason's shockingly changed because we had to switch times from what we generally do based on keeping guys, I guess, socially distanced or whatever that is. And so preseason was a little bit different. And then now it's pretty much the same outside of, you know, we're taking weekends off to make sure that we can avoid that 48-hour window before we test. And so, it's different, but you know, it's been fun to be able to coach again, and it's been fun to try to get these kids better.
I would imagine, too, that as you go into this season, flexibility is going to have to be a word that you guys will have to go through a lot with the schedule, even never knowing with the testing and all that. You hope every game gets played, but you still have to maintain a little bit of flexibility throughout the upcoming season.
Absolutely. We do that as a program anyway. I'm not exactly a highly, highly organized person, so our kids need to understand, and they do. Hey, I could call a practice within 5 minutes, and you need to make sure that you're there. So we do that regularly. It's not something that our kids couldn't handle. They can handle stuff like this. It's just a matter of now, can you maintain that level of motivation with all the noise that's going on around you, with all the different changes? Can we get through a season? I think that's one thing that we need to fight for, is to try to get through a season and let these kids play basketball and get back to athletics that so many people desperately need.
Now, you finished the year last year ranked number one in the national polls. You go into the start of this season ranked number one in preseason polls nationally. And after this interview is done, the MIAA preseason rankings will be out, number one in the rankings there as well. So, again, that's something that I think you're probably accustomed to from a major standpoint of being the team that's got that target on your back going into a season.
I think so. I think our guys just kind of block it out because they're so used to it at this point. I think when you're first ranked number one, it becomes difficult to maintain that hunger. For us right now, we're not at a good point defensively. Just in practice, we need to get a lot better. If you asked me last week, I would have said we're terrible offensively. So usually when your offense is clicking, your defense isn't. It'll be nice to try to play somebody else at some point and just see where we're actually at in regards to play.
When you look at different rankings and things that come out, one that a couple weeks ago, I think, came from the College Athletic Advisors, the top 20 program in that Inspire, and number two in that. Does that mean maybe more to you right now than some of the other things just because of what that means, the type of kids you bring into the program and the things you try to instill on these kids?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we always try to make kids successful once they leave, and that's always been our mantra. So to have something like that awarded to us, I don't know a ton about the award, so I'm not totally sure what that all entails and what information they've gathered, but we definitely try as a program to put that first and foremost is getting kids to be successful once they leave, being good husbands, good fathers, good citizens, et cetera, and we preach that all the time.
Now you're coming off a year where you had a great recruiting class. You look at what's come out, too, with Division II, where the players you have right now are giving another year of eligibility on top of this year. How does that the whole thing mix in with as far as looking at this upcoming season and the recruiting and things and the numbers of the players you got coming through here in the next couple of years?
Yeah, good question. I mean, those ones that we get extra years, that Hawkins kid's pretty good.
Not bad.
We might have him back. We're still deciding on that. No, I'm just no, you know, I think it's nice to be able to have that continuity in your program. I think it's important, though, that we have a really good freshman class because eventually we're going to lose those guys, those upperclassmen, and we need to make sure that we build from within. That's always been the strength of our program, and freshmen usually take a little time. So we need to have a good 2020 class. And then a good 2021 class and on through and really focus on recruiting as though it's a normal season.
Does that change any at all what you do with the group that you're bringing in this year as far as civil, maybe the whether they decide whether to redshirt or not and things along those lines?
The 2020 class?
Yeah, this year.
Class. Well, we won't redshirt this class, obviously, because the current team that we have, we won't redshirt because they get their year back regardless. But then the following year, yeah, it depends on what if they're good or not. You know, if they beat out Trevor and Diego and Hawk and Luke and all those guys, then they're going to play. If not, then they'll either redshirt or won't play. So best players play in our program.
Yeah, I imagine you were really glad to see that rule come out where you have some of those guys for another year that have been so instrumental in your program up to this point.
Well, I think more so for the sanity of college athletics because it's so ever-changing with what's going on. And one state's doing something different than others, and one conference is doing something different. And so eventually you're going to have a variety of different waivers that people apply for. So now you just take that one out of the equation. It's going to make it a lot easier for kids to focus on here and now and not worry about the future of, boy, if this is my senior year, this is a bad senior year. And so I think that's good by the NCAA. I think now it's just about focusing on trying to get the season going, trying to give these kids a good college experience and trying to give fans something they can enjoy watching.
How much are you looking forward to finally getting this season going after everything you've gone through and the team and everyone's gone through at this point to just get out and get on the floor and play a little basketball?
Yeah, no, we're definitely looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of people that are looking forward to it as well, not just our team. You know, I think parents, I think fans, you know, I think a lot of people that want that place to go to kind of disconnect from what's going on in the world and just enjoy a game of basketball. And so we're really pushing to have this and to get through it and you know, to have a good season.
Well, just a little bit over a week between now and the start of the regular season. What are some things you want to see this team do in the next week of practice so to get geared up for that first game?
You know, if we get better at two things, we'll be right where we need to be, offense and defense.
that seems good.
That's about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're a long ways away from yes, Tap always said, we're a long ways away from being bad. That's not where we're at. I'm just kidding here. But we've got a ways to go, and that's a good thing. Every year we've always got a ways to go at this time. So it's typical year in regards to that. This year is obviously there's more distractions, so you've got to maintain their focus. And we need to play somebody else. I think when you just beat each other up over time, it's just like, okay. They need to see something else and play against somebody else.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. We'll be back to have more on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660 660- 248-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Now talking cross-country with Northwest Missouri State cross-country coach Nick Gibson. And a big weekend coming up, Nick, as we look ahead, heading to Lubbock, Texas, the D2 National Invitational Tournament, essentially the national championship for Division II cross-country this year, and the chance to punch your ticket for both the men's and the women's teams just a couple weeks ago. What's this feel like for the team going in? You've had a chance to sink in how well they performed in Newman, and all of a sudden it's heading to this national stage.
I mean, it's exciting. I mean, the guys didn't really run that great at the first meet, but it's obviously the first meet. Usually it takes us, couple races to get into it and get adjusted. But the ladies, they ran fantastic. So it was really exciting to watch them race and know that, both teams, run better with more meets and more races. It's just exciting to know that this is where we were to start. Now, what can we do, the next race just after getting our legs under us?
Having that weekend in between, do you go out and try to simulate a meet and send them out, or is it just kind of stick to the normal training they've been doing?
No, it's just sticking to the normal training. We hit a really hard workout on Tuesday, which is, a big final prep, and then obviously some maintenance workouts still prior. But, the big workout was on Tuesday last week. So now it's just, trying to get the legs back under us and, get ready and get the legs feeling good for our Saturday morning.
Talking about this women's team specifically coming in before the year, and Caroline Cunningham kind of looked at it as, all right, she's going to lead us and be the runner that's really going to pace our team for the year. To see Delaney Dykes break out in the first and only meet of the season so far, what was that like from the coach's perspective, really seeing her put her best foot forward?
It was exciting. I mean, it was one of those things. Delaney, sent us a couple texts over the summer, updating us with, training, and, she did a couple time trials, and it was like, oh, wow, she's progressing really well, and she's the one that putting in the work and, doing all the hard stuff. I mean, and obviously it makes us look good, but, I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are out there putting in the miles and putting in the hard work, and it's just really exciting to watch them, grow and, improve, and seeing all that hard work pay off.
When a sophomore does that, is that driving everybody else to, like, all right, we got to ramp it up a little bit more this next race?
Yeah, I think it just shows. I mean, we try to tell the kids coming in, it's like your freshman year is a big adjustment. I mean, changing lifestyles, getting away from mom and dad. You're learning how to live on your own. So we usually tell them, like, if you can adjust to freshman year and get used to it, your second year is usually much better because you know what to expect. You're not a freshman. It's not new anymore. So that's what it is, just seeing that, and hopefully the other girls that are freshmen, because we have a pretty large freshman class, can be like, oh wow, she took this big jump from freshman year to sophomore year, maybe I can take a leap as well.
The fact that her only cross-country meet last year was the MIAA championships and made this big leap to the Newman Invitational a couple weeks ago, what's that say about her, and what was that what led her to only run in one race last year?
Oh, originally, whenever, she was recruited here, I mean, she was more of a 4-800 runner. She had never done cross country in high school. So we were just like, oh, she's going to be our 4-800 girl. I mean, she scored at conference for us in the 800. And then, over time, we just, kept seeing more and more things. And then, she just started running a little bit more. And it just, you just kind of just see stuff as a coach. And then it was just like, I think she might be better off in some of these longer races. And then she, she was like, okay, I'll trust in what you guys are telling me to do and put in the work. And then obviously, she's tough, tough as nails. So, I mean, if you get those two and someone that works hard and is tough, I mean, you can be really successful in the sport.
On that men's side for Northwest Missouri State cross country, it felt like heading into this fall prior to the pandemic that sky's the limit, that this team can really do anything. Only having one meet to prepare themselves for heading down to nationals in Lubbock, Texas this upcoming weekend. What's the feeling like? Not overly pleased with the way they ran, but still ran well at Wichita. How well can they do next weekend?
It's really hard to say. I mean, there's some good teams down there, but we've beaten all the teams that are down there. So, it's one of those things, if we go in and we put our best foot forward and, we just run better than we did the last time and, you know, improve. You know, there's no really saying, you know, what could happen. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that could happen in that time before. I mean, especially with COVID and stuff going on, you never know. You know, contact, it only takes, you know, a roommate or a teammate or something at one point, and for everybody to be, you know, in quarantine and not even get the opportunity. So, I mean, that's the thing, is just, you know, trying to get to the race and hopefully things work out at that. I mean, that's the same with every team. Everybody's dealing with the same circumstances and stuff like that. So you just kind of never know what can happen, or what, you know, some teams may be dealing with some stuff where, you know, their best guys, you know, go into quarantine or don't even get the run. So this COVID is really throws a big curveball in everybody for this fall.
Do you have to have those conversations with the team saying, listen, crazy things are happening. We might get dealt a bad hand and this could happen. So don't let it get you down. We have to be ready for what's going to come in the spring and then the next fall as well. But you can't let those little things bother you now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like one of those things. It's unavoidable circumstances, you know, just like anything else. You're going to get sick at some point. You know, somebody gets the flu. I mean, it's just one of those things that you just have to, you know, just keep with that mindset that, you know, no matter what, it's just a setback. You're going to get back and keep moving forward from it. And hopefully it doesn't take too long to get over that stuff if, you know, you are to get it.
Making that drive down on Thursday, if you check the weather for the weekend, is it going to be nice?
It looks nice. It looks like it's going to be like 70s or something and sunny. So the weather looks beautiful. I mean,
might
so,
have to head down with you.
I'll say may not come back.
Well, Nick, good luck this weekend. Looking forward to seeing what both the women's and the men's teams can do in the D2 National Invitational.
Yeah, we're excited.
Nick Gibson, Northwest Missouri State Cross Country Coach, joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We will take a timeout and be back with more on 90.5 and 88.9.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seeds been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family with a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Information available at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, now being joined by Northwest Missouri State Athletic Director Andy Peterson. And Andy, it's been, I guess, a fall, a spring, a summer full of changes dating back to last February, really. But now going in, we had a plan for a football scrimmage just last weekend. That one wiped out due to COVID cases at Washburn, and the Central Missouri scrimmage now also being canceled. Just how do you roll with the punches and the changes that we've had so far?
Well, just that. You just roll with them. You know, we talked about, even from day one, this was a possibility. You know, we were going to try to make this happen, knowing full well that we could get to this point and something like this could happen. So part of it is just understanding that we were aware that this was real, you know. So you just do your best and you keep on moving. You know, I think Coach Wright would tell you we learned some lessons. I've learned some lessons even going through this, just both personally, professionally, but also as the AD going into winter sports and what we can do to help make those happen. Spring sports, what we can do to help make those happen. So it wasn't, it was mainly specifically about football, trying to get football in for our seniors, for the upperclassmen, for the young guys to be, to get some, you know, live action in their, under their belts, evaluations, et cetera. Yes, first and foremost. But there's also this stuff, too, of we got to figure out testing. We got to figure out contact tracing. We got to figure out social distancing, adjusting practices, athletic trainers helping with a myriad of efforts to help make stuff happen. So all not lost, big picture, very frustrating for the football program.
Did it feel like once things got started and practice got rolling, was it a pretty tight window as far as getting these scrimmages in to not go too late, but obviously you couldn't start as early as you would have liked?
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about that too. The other is the opportunity of four games, the four weekends in November, or if you would have started on Halloween and then playing the 7th, 14th, 21st of November, is a good date. And you don't really, we really didn't want to play more than that. And I don't want to put words in Coach Wright's mouth, but I thought four scrimmages would have been, four games would have been okay. Two home, two away. Pretty good balance there. Would have been ideal. But then when the opportunity with Washburn and Central came about, it made sense. And I thought that, you know, we split it up okay. And you're playing in November. The weather's been pretty good thus far. It looks okay for the next 10 days. You know, now we've had some Novembers that have not been like this, obviously, but in Northwest Missouri, you'll take what you take. And, so it was out there, but, window was a little bit tight. But at the same time, we felt like it was safe. It was reasonable. You know, they started practicing, into September there. So they had the whole month of October, 4 weeks, almost 5 weeks to get stuff input, both schematically, but also physically, you know, get guys back to that level of let's hit each other and play tackle football. So kind of a tight window, but it was very feasible, I thought. It wasn't any different than the beginning of the year. If you start practicing October or August, you know, mid of August and playing your first football game late August, first week of September after Labor Day, it was the same timeline. So it wasn't terrible.
It's tough for football, obviously, but whenever you kind of look at it, all right, things are starting to happen, people get excited, and you're trying to find some of that normalcy once again, does this at least kind of send up that word of caution to the winter sports teams and spring sports of, all right, we got to keep taking care of ourselves, because if we have one or two tests positive, it could wipe out an entire team?
Yeah, no doubt, and especially as I've said this multiple times, and I do not want to downplay the impact that it has on our football student-athletes, first and foremost. But these scrimmages this year, really, they weren't going on anybody's record. They weren't for championships. We weren't handing out rings or watches or anything like that. There wasn't a lot on the line in that sense. Now, I completely understand for our football student-athletes, it's bigger than that. I've told a couple people, maybe I told you guys last week, but a bunch of us played slow-pitch softball this fall. And we were excited to play that on Tuesdays. Supposed to just be Tuesday nights. It kind of trickled into Thursday nights somehow. But Tuesday nights, we were excited. And you're talking about a bunch of, you know, middle-aged, older guys, whatever, that really have no business doing that kind of stuff. But we were excited to compete. That's it. That's all it was. How much more so excited are these student-athletes if that's, you know, that's what they came to school here to do? And so to have that opportunity and that, you know, that's the part that I'm most upset about, is just that feeling of we've pulled the rug out from underneath those guys again. Not that it was anybody's fault. And, you know, Washburn canceled the game on Thursday. They got their test results in. I don't think, you know, it really would have changed. It's not necessarily Washburn's fault. I think we would have had positive. We did have positive tests on Friday. Contact tracing has been difficult. That's, you know, one of the reasons why we're not going to play against Central Missouri, is we're going to have not a majority, but a significant number of student athletes in quarantine or isolation right up until almost game time on Saturday. And so at that point, it's just not smart or healthy to try to play. So, yeah, it's nobody's fault. It's just one of those, you know, it's, hey, we're not taking it lightly either. Like, it's a serious issue. We got to maintain health and safety. We don't want to obviously have a super spreader event where we get three or four other teams infected on a weekend. So we got to do our due diligence, but you know, that's the part of, you know, this football was a test run through it. And that's where I go back to, you know, we've learned some stuff that hopefully will help us in the future.
We're just inside a month away from the first home basketball games of the season on campus here. The first one's coming up on the 19th. That's going to be on the road at Northeastern State. But the 3rd and the 5th are scheduled to be at home. Last week we were talking to you, and you're looking at social distancing. How can that work in the arena? Does it feel like you're making some headway toward getting to where Northwest needs to be for that?
Yeah, and there's two parts to that. Number one is, yes, I think we're getting there. Number two is, the two games that we're having in December are a completely different scenario than games after the year. So we're going to take that into account. I think we'll have two different protocols. Those two games in December will look completely different than the games in January. We haven't completely ironed that out yet. I think we'll probably get some type of a communication out to our to Bearcat Nation this week, just in terms of what we plan to do. You know, we're going to take care of our players and their families as best we can, and then you know we're going to try to get our season ticket holders in. But that'll, like I said, that'll probably be after the first of the year when we do that. So those December games will be trial runs for us administratively, game management wise, to try to figure out how we can do things as effectively as possible and still provide a quality environment for our student athletes to compete in, and then we'll be able to kind of reevaluate through the month of December and as we get through the holidays and get kids back into school, not back into school, but back to Maryville after Christmas, and start having, you know, nine of our last, whatever it is, I can't do math that quickly anymore, nine of our last 15 or whatever after Christmas break will be at home. So,
and before I let you go, you mentioned a slow pitch softball team. I feel like you're downplaying it.
Uh-huh.
A championship slow pitch softball team led by possibly a gold glove second baseman?
Yeah, and a self-promoted, self-named manager, GM. I don't know that that's ever really happened in the history of sport, that somebody just said, you're not going to manage us anymore, I am.
Who did – and they were talking about Colin McDonough, the assistant athletic director for media relations at Northwest. Who did he push out to be the manager?
Coach Austin Meyer.
Wow. And those two are in the room right now. Can't wait to talk to Austin about that in a minute. How does
that's
that
how
down?
I understood it anyway. Okay. I was out in left field most of the time, so I don't really know what.
Yeah, I've heard that about Eddie Peterson, typically just got left field.
That's not an analogy or anything. I was literally in left field.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let those guys figure out what happened. Oh, yeah, we won. I tried to help our team win, and we did that, and that's all I know. And I did what I was told by either Austin or Colin when it comes to softball.
I heard Colin said something about taxi squad guys are supposed to get a ring for that too, but went through that out on the road.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Once again,
know.
That's at the manager level.
Yep,
I'm just.
I understand.
It's not my
right
above my pay grade for that part.
Yeah. Well, Andy, we appreciate you coming on the show, and look forward to talking to you again in the near future here on the Coach's Show. Hopefully, as we're able to get some games in.
Thank you, Matt.
Andy Peterson, Northwest AD. We will take a timeout and be back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Go Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back inside the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball with head coach Austin Meyer. And coach, how you doing? It's going to be kind of a bizarre offseason.
Yeah, it's been a little different than the normal one, but no, we're doing pretty well right now. It's been nice to get everybody back here, and fortunately for us, we've been able to have, you know, a few weeks of practice, and kids have stayed healthy, and hopefully we can keep it going.
As things wrapped up, and it was that MIAA tournament weekend as before things kind of went off the rails, but you get your team back to Kansas City for the first time since, I believe, 2013. You get a win over Central Oklahoma in the first round. There's still so much left out there that you want to accomplish, but that had to feel good. Seeing in year two, big steps were taken by your program.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we made some jumps, did some things that hadn't been done in a while. kind of fighting that. We want to improve. We want to get better every day. But, you know, we also want to make a big jump. And as good as this league is, you know, it's going to take a lot of work to make a significant jump. You know, we feel like we're much improved now than we were at the end of last season. But other teams are as well. I think we're continuing to go in the right direction.
Does it feel like just having that chance to get there, play at Municipal Auditorium, kind of see the environment? You know, it's big for your older kids to have a chance to get back there, but then your younger kids too, kind of like, let's make this a 4-year thing.
Yeah, definitely. We told them, you know, one day of practice, we kind of went over some things, and we're just talking about, you know, being able to play there was a big deal for us because it hadn't happened in a while. But playing there on Thursday at 2 o'clock or whatever is a little different than playing there on Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, the goal definitely is to get back there and see if we can get a little bit farther. But obviously right now it's just one day at a time. We take every opportunity we have to get out in the practice floor because in this COVID world, you don't know what the next day holds. So you try to make the most of each day.
How do summer workouts go or making sure players are ready once this season does start?
Yeah, summer was tough. You know, it was, you know, if you had a basketball hoop in your backyard, you probably could work on your game. If not, you're in some trouble. But, I think our kids, did a good job with our strength conditioning, you know, our Joe Quinlan workouts. We sent some bands home with them and they were able to do some stuff on their own. We'd send, you know, videos out in the group chat and try to do as much as you can. And then, you know, we come to school and, we kind of get knocked out with quarantine for the first 2 weeks of, preseason. So we weren't able to do anything those first 2 weeks. But, then we kind of got in a little bit of rhythm with us testing every Monday. You know, we took Saturday and Sunday off and then we'd do small individual group work on Monday, Tuesday, with their roommates. That way, if somebody did come up with something, it wouldn't wipe out our entire team. So, we've been pretty fortunate that that's worked for us. And, you know, when we get our negative test back on Wednesday, you know, then we're able to have a couple full days of practice, which has been good. We've done a lot of scrimmaging when we've, you know, in the two or three days that we can actually go full team practice. We've done a lot of scrimmaging. We film it all, we stat it all, and we let them play, and then we evaluate through film and film sessions. But it's been fun. I think the kids enjoy playing. You know, not having a chance to play in the off season. You know, you can do all the drills and stuff you want, but there's nothing like, you know, simulation when you're playing.
You look at that starting lineup or the three of the five that you have coming back this year with Jalen Haggard and Kylie Coleman and Mallory McConkey. And does it feel like those three have taken steps and taken on more of that leadership role so far this season?
Yeah, they have. You know, from a working standpoint, you know, they've worked. You know, Jalen and McConkey have kind of gone next level with workouts and getting in the gym, extra time. Kylie's been great for us, a competitor. Brings it in practice, doing a great job rebounding for us. You know, another one, Emma Atwood, who was a redshirt for us last year. She's been our leading scorer in practice so far this year. She's shooting, you know, close to 60% from the field. Part of that is we're not very good defensively right now, so we got to get a lot better in that area. So she's been a really bright spot. Came in great shape, and if you come in good shape, you're gonna make jumps pretty quick because when fatigue sets in, you start to make mistakes. It's harder to think. It's harder to focus. There's a lot of things that you have to overcome when you're not in shape. But she came in great shape from the first workout we did with our morning preseason stuff, and it showed. And she's, you know, in our top five definitely right now. She's probably our second or third most efficient player.
You know, last year we looked at it and Peyton Rao and Jana Green coming in, and those two really came out and made an impact and improved as the season went along. And you knew there's some talent redshirting. Did you think that Emma was ready to step in like this?
To be honest with you, I wasn't sure it'd be this quick. I knew she's a great kid. She's a hard worker. But she's gone next level with being in the gym. You know, I a lot of times I don't get here till about 7:45, taking my daughter to daycare, and every day she's in there shooting outside of her individual workout time. Coach Houston does a great job with our player development, and he's worked with her a ton. So it's been great to see and really happy for her, and she's just going to continue to get better.
Ellie Horn's one that came in that has that size, a 6'3", senior now coming after transferring from DMAC a couple seasons ago. Is she taking some steps, too, to be able to fill a few more minutes in the post?
Yeah, definitely. You know, she's really worked. You know, the biggest thing for her was just from a skill set standpoint, and she works as hard as anybody. Man, if you put her work ethic and mindset And a lot of people, they're going to be really good. And she's improved significantly from the first day she got here. And defensively, she's been really good for us. We struggle a little bit in practice because, you know, we play Jana Green and Mia, who can step out and shoot it. And there's really nobody for her to guard from a post standpoint with Peyton Rao being out this season for us. But so she's got to be on the perimeter and defend threes and pick and pop stuff, which isn't ideal for her, but it has helped her work on guarding the ball, defensive lateral quickness and things like that. But yeah, she's a rim presence. She can block shots. She can rebound. She's our leading rebounder right now in practice, and she's just one that's continued to improve.
With the bizarre circumstances with COVID and the chance for everybody to play this year and not lose a year of eligibility, I mean, does everybody suit up and have that chance to come in this year?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about too with, you know, the class we have coming in. You know, we have 7 kids coming in our next class, so obviously we're not going to bring everybody back next year. So we talked to our seniors about just focusing on this season, having a great season, and then we'll kind of see where things are at after the year. And obviously different things can happen with roster spots and recruiting, whatever it may be. So we wanted their focus to be on this season and make the most of it. But yeah, it's a free year, so nobody loses out on any eligibility, and hopefully it'll be good for our kids.
We talk so much about the improvement from each individual player on down the lineup, but from what I've seen on social media, the coaching staff has become that much more healthy and been working out as hard as the players have.
Yeah, motivated by you. I always see you running around town about every day. So, yeah, no, we've really tried to we try to stay in shape and stay healthy. And I think for me, it was kind of a wake-up call with the whole COVID and got pretty sick from it. So just try to change the diet a little bit and stay healthy and active. And, yeah, our staff, Lindsay Holt, one of our assistants, did the hard 75, which if you look that up, or 75 hard, I think it is. If you look it up, it's pretty crazy what she was able to do in that time period. But, yeah, so it's a big part of what we do. And I think hopefully – you know, the girls can look at it too and say, hey, our staff works too. So they're not hypocritical when they're telling us to put in the time and get in shape.
So I think it was last year, or it was your first season, and you mentioned that during one day at noon ball, you were out there playing, and the girls happened to come by and stopped and watched. So you're like, I have to play at a certain level to keep up. Now, we're never going to get back to the level that we were at age 20, 21, 22. But does it feel like you're kind of like, all right, I can play that high intensity a little bit longer now?
More intensity. I don't know if I'd go high intensity, but me personally, I'm a lot better off than I was that day because I was 30 pounds heavier then, and I wasn't in very good shape, but I tried to play hard, which is a bad thing. At least now I could probably go a little bit longer. So if we ever get the noon ball bubble going here, we'll get back after it.
You let us know. We'll come out and broadcast.
There you go.
It's been a while since we've done a game.
Yeah.
So, well, Austin, we appreciate the time. Good. Looking forward to this upcoming season.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Matt, it's been a good show, very enlightening show on a number of fronts, not only with Bearcat sports, but also learned a little bit about slow pitch softball during the show this week, and Colin McDonough and his coup to take over that slow pitch softball team. So you learn a little bit of everything when you listen to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show.
You know, we know how competitive Ben McCollum is and Rich Wright, Austin Meyer, Nick Gibson, the coaches we had on the show today going in. But I don't think people realize just how competitive Colin McDonough, the SID, is. He would pry that power away from Austin Meyer to be able to take over that team. But they did win a championship.
So apparently it worked.
It worked out okay for him, yeah. But I do say we joke about Colin quite often. He is a hard worker. He does a lot of great stuff for us here.
He's, in my opinion, the best in the business right now. And there's a lot of great SIDs that we deal with in the MIAA and around the country. But we really appreciate everything Colin does for us.
I feel like we should keep a mic in the van when we go on road trips and make that a podcast. He's got some stories.
Yeah, no doubt. I learned a lot about Colin on those trips.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long until next Tuesday.